to your word. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. And one, it's kind of a contrast, but also fitting that we would see that video right after hearing a story about Jesus at a meal at someone's house. And then you see people in a great need of food. But one of the great gifts that God has given us in family and in friends is that opportunity to sit down together and share a meal. Everybody loves that. And the food doesn't even have to be all that good, although I like it when it is. And when it's bad, that gives you something to talk about too, but not to the cook. But the food is kind of secondary. It's the gathering. It's the time of sharing. It's the time of bonding around a meal. I was thinking of, last time the bishop was here and, the local clergy and, well, actually, clergy, all over from the Carolinas were here, and we went out to eat with him to a restaurant which will remain unnamed, but they serve Southern cuisine. So that'll narrow it down for you. And I guess some of the food was good, but the problem was getting it. The service, wouldn't say abysmal. They were very nice about it, but the poor, you know, Bishop Jones had to order like four times because he had ordered, and when we'd sit there talking, they'd come back and say, "I'm sorry, but we're all out of that." And then he'd order something else, and, "I'm sorry, but we're out of that." And this was the first Southern restaurant I'd ever been in that ran out of grits, which I don't eat grits, so it was okay with me. But that gave us something to talk about. It made it memorable, and we bonded and had that great time of sharing. The great thing about sharing meals is it reminds us that we belong. We belong to the family when we sit down and we have those meals together. We belong to the church when we sit down at the covered dish. You know, it doesn't matter even what kind of meal it is. You know, it could be a banquet, cookouts, picnics, it's sack lunch. It's just the time of bonding. And it's important in the church, as you know. Everything we do involves food. Every time we get together, there's food. And I remind you that September the 11th, we have our picnic. And that'll be good. Good time of sharing and worship. And for folk like me who love to eat, you know, that's something I really have in common with Jesus. The Son of Man came eating and drinking. Me too! I can amen that. Food is referenced in the Bible 1,207 times. And for those of you who count carbs, 466 of those are bread. Food's important in Scripture. It begins with food. I mean, it was eating the wrong food that got us kicked out of the garden. And the promised land is a land flowing with what? Milk and honey. It's all about food. At the heart of the Passover, there's a meal, a specific meal, specific menu, and remembrances and conversations. And when God gave the law on Sinai, He invited Moses and the elders of Israel to come up the mountain. And they actually saw God and they ate and they drank. Listen to this. This is from Exodus 24. Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and the 70 elders of Israel went up and they saw the God of Israel. Under his feet was something like a pavement made of lapis lazuli, as bright blue as the sky. But God did not raise his hand against these leaders. They saw God, and they ate, and they drank. God set a table for 75. They shared a meal. They communed with God on Sinai. And when we come to the New Testament, as I've already said, Jesus' teachings and his actions show that he loved to eat and drink. So much so that he was accused of being a wine bibber. I love that word. A wine bibber and a glutton. And Jesus, I think for him, the food was also secondary. It's great, but it was the time spent with people. And we see him frequently as the guest in people's homes for a meal. And in these meals, we're generally not told the menu. We don't know what they ate. But we are told that Jesus had the opportunity to share truths about the kingdom. He had opportunities to share the gospel. Now, if you ever have a study of comparative gospels, you will find that in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus eats more in other people's houses than in any other gospel. He offers those stories to us, and they are compelling. But before we get into our text today, where Jesus is in the home of a prominent Pharisee eating, I want us to back up and look at some of the other meals in the Gospel of Luke. And if you'll turn with me to Luke chapter 5, we'll start there and move forward. Just taking a glance at the situation and what was the gospel truth that Jesus proclaimed at that meal. Luke 5:27. This is when Jesus called the tax collector Levi from his tax booth. Follow me, Jesus said. Levi got up, left everything and followed him. And Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law who belonged to their sect complained to his disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" And this is what Jesus responded with. "It's not the healthy that need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." That's the good news message for us in this meal, that Jesus came to call sinners to repentance. We are wanted. And Jesus opens up any table he sits at to sinners. He eats with sinners, which is good news for me and for you. Now, if you'll turn forward, probably a couple of pages in your Bible, to Luke 7:36. This is in the home of Simon, a Pharisee. And while they're there, a sinful woman enters and weeps at Jesus' feet. She's weeping on his feet and drying them with her hair, and she anoints his feet with perfume. And Simon, as a Pharisee, as other Pharisees, I'm sure, were thinking, if he knew what kind of woman this was, he wouldn't be allowing her to do this. And Jesus knew those thoughts. And so he said, "Simon, I have something to tell you." And we're in verse 41. "Tell me, teacher," Simon said. "Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back. So he forgave the debts of both. which of them will love him more? Simon replied, I suppose the one who had a bigger debt. You have judged correctly. Jesus said about the woman, therefore, this is in verse 47, therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. Whoever has been forgiven little, loves little. We are reminded in that we have been forgiven much. And so, as we continue our journey, go to Luke 9:10. My favorite scripture, the feeding of the 5,000. If you've been here when it's come up before, you know it is not my favorite teaching. Not because there's anything wrong with the teaching. It's just another story for another time. But the disciples want to send these people away. And Jesus said in verse 13, you give them something to eat. An amazing command. You give them something to eat. We have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. But we know the rest of the story. The disciples did give them something to eat, but it was what Jesus did with it. They were obedient, and their meager offering turned out to be more than enough. I always thought, you know, it would have been nice to be the maitre d' at that when they table for 5,000. Luke 10:38. And this is the year that we are in the Gospel of Luke. So, wasn't that long ago you heard this. This is the story of Mary and Martha, you know. Martha, so busy, doing so many things in the kitchen. Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus and gets upset. Jesus, don't you care that I'm having to do all this? And then a sweet rebuke from Jesus, verse 41. Martha, 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 you are worried and upset over many things, but few things are needed, it says here. But in Greek and in most translations, it says only one thing is needed. Only one thing is needed. Only one thing is necessary in the ESV. And Martha's chosen the better portion. It will not be taken from her. Mary has chosen the better portion. It will not be taken from her. And Jesus wasn't saying, oh, you don't need to work in the kitchen. What he was saying is the most important thing is what is being taught here. To sit at my feet in the kingdom and to hear the gospel message and to live it. That's the most important. The relationship with me. The relationship in the kingdom. If we move on to Luke 11:37. And those of you at home, if you are getting hungry as you listen to these meals, you are free to go get something from the refrigerator. We just ask that you turn off the screen so that we don't have to watch you eat. Luke 11:37. This was a meal I think would have been really fun to be at, because the conversation just starts off bad and goes downhill from there. When Jesus had finished speaking, a Pharisee invited him to eat at his home. And when Jesus reclined at the table, the Pharisee noticed he didn't wash his hands. And Jesus responds, "Now then, you Pharisees clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside you're full of greed and wickedness. You foolish people, did not the one who made the outside make the inside also? But now, as for what is inside you, be generous to the poor, and everything will be clean for you." Be generous to the poor. What's on the inside of you is what matters, not how you present yourself to the world, not how you obey laws. It's not the letter of the law. It's the heart that has got God concerned. Do you love? Do you have compassion? Do you care for the poor? Do you care for the needy? Do you feed the hungry? Let's look at Luke 19. We are skipping over today's text for a moment. But Luke 19, verse 1. Everybody loves this story. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. We even have a song. Zacchaeus, a wealthy tax collector who just so happened to be sort of diminutive, climbs up in the tree to see Jesus, and Jesus calls him out. And one of the things I really love about this, they're going to go have dinner at his house, but Jesus invites himself. "I'm coming to your house." And he does. He goes to the house of Zacchaeus, and Zacchaeus tells him, "I will take half of all I have and I'll give it to the poor. And anybody I've defrauded, I'll give them back double." And again, just as in the first meal that we talked about, you've got Pharisees grumbling because he's eating with tax collectors. But Jesus says, "Today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." The wealthy sinner, the hated tax collector, is proclaimed to be a son of Abraham. If we back up to 14, which is our text for today, I first want to say there are other meals in the Gospel of Luke, two after the resurrection, but if we do that, and then if we looked at all the parables that have to do with food, we'd be here a long time and we'd all get hungry. This morning in our gospel reading, we find Jesus at the home of a prominent Pharisee. He's been invited to dine with other Pharisees and lawyers. And we are told, right at the beginning of the story, we are told he was being carefully watched. They were watching him. The word for watching is paratereo. There will be a quiz later. Remember that. And it actually is keeping alongside. They're not just watching him. They're stalking him. They're interested in what he's going to do. And that'll become more obvious in a moment. In the other meal settings that we talked about the setting and then went straight to the teaching. And it was my intention to not talk about this miraculous healing just to let that stand on its own in your mind. And I wasn't going to talk about the parable about being humble. I was going to go straight to the teaching at the end. But there was one thing that stood out in this, and I was embarrassed that I had not seen it before when I had read. And so just to let you know how stupid I am, I will share this with you. He probably didn't need much convincing on that. There was a man present, and we're told this right off the bat. There in front of him, verse 2, there in front of him was a man suffering, and it says in the NIV here, abnormal swelling, what's called dropsy in most translations. The man before him had this unusual swelling of soft tissue, and in reading more about it, they say the dropsy, as it's described in Scripture, this edema, this unnatural swelling of soft tissue, is, they're almost certain, congestive heart failure. This man standing before him had congestive heart failure. Think of it that way. And it's, the symptoms are obvious. Jesus knows this right off the bat. But here's the part that had never dawned on me before. Why is he there? Why is he there? Because Pharisees shun people who have illnesses. Why would he have been invited? People with diseases that are obvious are shunned because they believed it was a result, that disease was a result of sin. And they didn't want to associate with sinful people. They're Pharisees. So why is he there? Well, I'll tell you, I'm quoting the words of General Akbar in Star Wars. It's a trap! It's a trap! And Jesus knew it was a trap, but he chose to spring it. It's a trap, but I'll walk right into it. And so he asked the lawyers and the Pharisees, is it legal to heal on the Sabbath or not? Ooh, they're getting excited now. He's going to do it! He's going to do it. Oh, he's going to do it. And so they don't answer. They're waiting. So Jesus heals him. Imagine how dramatic that would be. Jesus healed him. And then he immediately spins the trap back on them. Which of you, having a son or an ox that's fallen into a well, will not immediately pull him out on the Sabbath day? And they were silent. What could you say? Of course you would. And then, after this, Jesus tells them this parable about, you know, the jockeying for position and the humility and so forth. He does say something to his host that ties this together. He lets him know that he did the right thing by inviting the man with dropsy. When you give a feast, he says this to the host, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. Instead of inviting all your rich friends and neighbors, invite more men, like the one who was healed. Jesus wants the table to be open and sends out invitations to everyone. And the supreme example of this is the meal in Luke 22. And you probably guessed what it was. I'll read it to you. He took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. none of the people sitting at that table could repay Jesus for that meal. None of us can either. We're all outcasts. We're all sinners. We're all sick. We're all poor. We're all lame in some way. But we're invited. We're invited to come. And we share in that meal. And we commune with Jesus Christ as we commune with one another. In that video today, you heard an appeal from people who have absolutely nothing. This was a war that, if you'd kept up with it, started long ago with the genocide in Rwanda, which they have peacefully settled that. But it moved into the Congo. And these are refugees from that war. Oh, but can't they go to the UN camps that they're setting up? They could if they were safe. But the rebels have infiltrated those camps and are waiting to kill them. This is a war of genocide. They want to kill them. It's not enough to have them leave the country. And so churches are doing what they can. But if you know anything, listen to Father Chris tell us about his trips to Uganda. This is not a wealthy place. These are not people who have much, but they're giving and they're helping as much as they can. If we help them, they can never repay us. We'll be following in the footsteps of Jesus. And we'll pass around the green basket today. And when you consider how to respond to their plea for help, contemplate what you learned sitting at the table with Jesus. At Levi's house, we learned that we're sinners who've been called to repentance, and that's good news. The home of Simon the Pharisee, we learned that, yes, and we have been forgiven much. We should love much. The feeding of the 5,000, Jesus tells us, you give them something to eat. With the home of Mary and Martha sitting at the table, we come to understand that only one thing is necessary for all of us. At the home of the Pharisee, where Jesus didn't wash his hands, we learned that it's what's on the inside that matters. And it's from the inside that Jesus said, we should be generous to the poor. At the home of Zacchaeus, we learned that generosity naturally flows from the children of Abraham. And then we learn about the table at which we will kneel today, and we will receive the body and blood of Jesus Christ. We cannot repay. We cannot repay. But we can live in response to it, and we can live in response to the teachings of Jesus Christ. And you may not be able to give much, and that's okay. Give what you can. But be in absolute earnest prayer for these people. We take what we have for granted. And it would be nice if they had something that they could take for granted. But they have so little and we have so much. And I'm so hungry now, I'll say amen.